time to talk a little NHL hockey. This is the Debate Hockey Podcast. I'm the host of the show, Brad Brew. Join alongside my co-host each and every Blake Friars. Blake, yeah, we're getting to that Thanksgiving mark, and we're not too far off on that. Let's see where the teams shake out. We'll definitely be talking about that in the coming episodes. Today, we got lots to talk about on the show. Yeah, lots of things this week. It was an interesting week in the National Hockey League. Some major stories, some minor stories. We'll touch on all of them today. Do you ever watch the TNT broadcast?
Yeah, I'm sure. From time to time. Yeah, no, it's the Sportsnet sometimes carries the late game. So I watched, what game was it last week? It was Colorado, New Jersey. I watched that game. There was a lot of big hits of that. Like Hughes got hammered behind the net, and Miles Wood hammered somebody. It was like, holy shit, like what's going on here? But yeah, it was a good game.
I'm not a Bissonnet fan, but I had to laugh last week. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter too.
Hold on. You say what you want to say what you want about Bissonnet. When he came on Hockey Night in Canada, it added a different element, and he's not afraid to speak his mind. He tells the truth, says it how it is. I honestly wish more people were like that. There's too much just scripted stuff. Like Ron McLean, he's pretty scripted, right?
Blake, the last non-scripted guy got fired. They all get fired. They do. Blake, hear me out.
Are you talking about Don Cherry?
Yeah. Everybody in the National Hockey League wants outgoing players and commentators, but then when they say something that's even close to crossing the line, they're blackballed.
That is true, but
it is totally true.
But totally true. A lot of people like Biz. He's pretty well liked in the
Biz is going to get fired. Biz is going to get fired. He will.
I think TNT lets him do whatever he wants, so that's the thing.
Okay, but society won't, Blake.
No, it hasn't happened yet. This is year three?
Just watch. And I don't mind him, but here's what I don't like about him.
Listen, here. If Biz gets fired, he goes to Spittin' Chiclets and does the same thing. Who cares?
So Spittin' Chiclets isn't paying the bills like a job TNT is.
Sure, but he's a former player. He's got lots of money.
A former mediocre player.
Sure. Still got an NHL contract.
Depends on how he managed his money.
Right.
Okay, but hear me out on this. Here's what I don't like about him compared to like a Kevin Bieksa. Kevin Bieksa same way as Bissonnette. But Bissonnette has to go around spouting off that he's got Babcock fired and he did this and just like he's like the reason for all this. Like, come on.
Yeah, that part I don't really like about it, but I mean, I like the way he talks about the game. He says it how it is, and I wish honestly more people were like that.
I did laugh though last week. They're doing a demonstration and he's standing behind Anson Carter. Did you see that on Twitter?
Yeah. He's giving him a couple shots in the back.
Oh God, I thought that was hilarious. Jerseys. Who do you think number one selling jersey is this year?
Well, it's got to be Connor Bedard.
Who's number two?
McDavid, Draisaitl.
Jack Hughes. That's no shocker. Yep. Three is Marchand, four is Crosby, five is Pasternak, six is Bergeron, seven.
Bergeron, he's not even in the league anymore.
Still in, since that's what it is. Seventh is Ovechkin, eighth Kaprizov, nine MacKinnon, 10 Makar.
Nice.
So, speaking of jerseys, did you see what the Hurricanes are doing on February 10th?
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions. We'll touch on that later.
We'll touch on it later. Yeah. All right. Tons to talk about. Let's talk about the leaking Oilers. We'll go around the league, talk about some lost players, talk about some trade requests.
Well, McDavid got his first point in four games, so that's good.
Then we'll run down the highlights of the first month of the National Hockey League and talk a little bit about the Hockey Hall of Fame induction. All right, so last week, Thursday night, everybody's glued to the TV set for a 9:30 start, a late ass start. But we're all going to stay up to watch the carnage. How sadistic is that? But we all did. Every one of us.
Every single one of us is savages. And just...
We wanted blood. We wanted
it's
blood.
It's like when you hate a team so much, you'd love to see them suffer. You love... You just like kick a man while he's down extra hard. You know, they got two of the best players in the world. Me and you both predicted them to go to the Stanley Cup. So we're not the brightest guys in the room right now.
One of us looking a little brighter than the other one when the other one's
not as much. I have him winning the Stanley Cup. So not the brightest guy.
You went as too far to double down on that. And you spelled
when out. Did I double down? I was out on him a week into the season. No shot.
Listen, though, on our episode where we talked about crazy predictions, you spouted off that McDavid is going to go off this year and the numbers are going to be astronomical.
It's a joke. This guy's got to be hurt, man. He has one assist his last five games. Well, he's got two goals. He's on pace for 18 goals, 75 points. What is that? He looks like looks disinterested. Like he just got an assist. He didn't even get excited. He looked depressed.
He's full out pouty right now. He's in fifth grade pout mode.
Oh my god.
Not helping the problem. But anyways, we all watched the Sharks Oilers on Thursday night.
Oh yeah.
The Sharks win 3-2.
Yeah.
And the Oilers had tons and tons of chances.
They outshot them 40-18.
And there is so much wrong with Edmonton. First, Jack Campbell gets assigned to Bakersfield. He goes there and he just has an awful outing in Bakersfield. The baby
Canucks got him. The Vancouver Canucks organization has broke Jack Campbell.
But then they go on this weekend and they fire Woodcroft. And here's where it starts getting interesting. Then they hire this... I call him Chuck Knobloch. I know it's not Chuck because Chuck Knobloch.
It's Knobloch or something. I don't know.
Oh, it's Knobloch. It's Knobloch. It's the same. Do you know who Chuck Knobloch is? Do you know who he is?
No.
Infielder, second baseman, Minnesota Twins, World Series.
No. Yeah. That's in 1991, man. I wasn't even thought of at the time.
7 or 91.
They won it. Their last World Series was 91.
7.
91.
No.
91 and then the
87 and 91.
This guy says. Okay.
Shit's less about baseball.
Listen.
But anyways, so they get this guy from AHL Hartford. They have to talk to the Rangers to get permission to bring in Connor McDavid's old junior coach. And then Connor McDavid looks us dead in the eye and said, "I really didn't know. It was a surprise to me." Are you kidding?
He goes, "I found out the same as you. Woke up to a text." I'm like,
what?
Oh, David just got a goal. Oh no, he's back.
Whatever. David is running.
Here's the thing.
And this is a recipe for disaster.
Here's the thing. Okay. Connor McDavid's former agent is the CEO of hockey operations. He now has his former junior coach, and their big splash was to bring in his ex-line mate in Erie and Connor Brown, who has zero goals. Like
full out LeBron.
I don't know, man. That is. It's basically what it is. Like it's like he they are doing operation whatever it takes to keep McDavid happy in Edmonton. That's what it is.
But what has that got you so far?
Well, my dad made a funny comment. He goes, "It's not always good when the hens are running the coop." I was like, it's not a bad thing, but
it's the truth. But here, I look at this team, right?
Yeah,
and I see this press conference, and it's the biggest debacle of a press conference.
Did you watch it?
It was a train wreck.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So Ken Holland says we talked to the players about it. And we discussed, and then the CEO says, "Yeah, no, we didn't talk to any of the players." Well, I'm like, wait a second. Did he just like say the complete opposite thing right now?
They're just lying, full in lies. Like, what the hell?
What is happening?
I mean, Knobloch didn't even get to pick his own staff.
No.
And Ken Holland had to answer this question for Knobloch because Knobloch didn't know the answer during the press conference. And then they go on to hire, they get rid of Dave Manson too, and they hire Paul Coffey. Did you hear what Paul Coffey said? I didn't really want the job.
No, I didn't know that, but I will say Paul Coffey's going to be, I think I would be a good hire for them because he's a smart guy. I mean,
but think about this.
He doesn't have much coaching experience, but I mean,
Blake, time out. When you think of Paul Coffey, what type of defenseman do you think?
Offensive defenseman, but I understand that, but he understands the game exceptionally well.
Well, hopefully he understands how to create defense because the problem at Edmonton isn't just the goaltenders.
No, there's a laundry list of stuff that's going on wrong with the Oilers.
So they've rolled through 15 plus goalies, right? You can't tell me that one of them isn't a decent goalie. You know what the problem is? There is no defense on this team. There's never been a defensive buy-in from the forwards, and there's no defense from the defense. They get walked. Nurse is atrocious.
Yeah.
Bouchard is just all offense, could care less about defense. He's a pile.
Did you see the pinch 2 weeks ago against Vancouver?
They pinch all the time. Did you watch tonight at all? They're pinching and pinching and pinching. This team's going to get obliterated.
There's a time and a place for that. Like, there's a time and a place to be aggressive, but you gotta make calculated decisions.
They're not, and they're leaving their goalies hung out to dry. And I'm not defending Campbell's been bad and Skinner.
He's a scapegoat. And so is Jay Woodcroft. He's a scapegoat. Jay Woodcroft has the best winning percentage in Oilers history. Yes, 640.
Okay, but he also had Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl scoring at that rate. Here's one of the things that, and this is what blows my mind about Woodcroft is, there's no accountability held on the play.
Oh no.
Right? I mean, so let me finish my comment here.
Okay.
So there's no accountability, right? The players all say they love him. Well, no shit, they love him because there's no accountability, right? No one's held accountable for anything. So the players say they're upset because they didn't think it was a fair fire. But now they bring in another coach who's a first-time NHL coach, and he's going to create accountability in this country club atmosphere of the Edmonton Oilers.
I don't like saying this as a fan, but their country club shit reminds me of Vancouver with Boudreaux. Like, there was just no accountability. They had good players, but
have a defense, Blake.
They still had good players. But there was no accountability. And Talkett comes in, and Miller's benched, and Kuzmenko's benched, and you make mistakes, you're planted to the bench. Bouchard pinches. He didn't miss a shift after that pinch in Vancouver.
There's no accountability.
Like, it's bad.
Here's the difference with what Boudreaux had. You can't throw Boudreaux under the bus here because Boudreaux did not have the same team that Talkett has.
Other than what, four players?
Pretty key players, though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty key players. Because what creates good hockey is a good defense. And you said it on our last podcast. Good offense is created through good defense. And this year, Vancouver's had good defense. It's created offensive opportunities, and it's opened the doors to many, many new things.
Yeah.
Without that, if you don't have Carson Soucy, you don't have Roenick, you don't have your team is a whole different team. And that's the team Boudreaux had.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Woodcroft, he has no defensive structure at all. I don't even think he tried to coach that.
They don't even have much depth either. That's the thing.
Well, they can't. They can't afford depth.
I mean, when you got Nurse making more money than Makar.
I mean, you can't afford depth when you make bad contracts, right? And you have Campbell getting X amount of dollars, and you just can't. You start not being able to have any depth at all because...
It's like, why did they let Woodcroft coach in Seattle? They had their mind made up after the game in San Jose, and
the decision was made Saturday.
It was made. I guarantee you, after the San Jose game, they said, after this road trip, we're making a coaching change. You're not gonna bring in a new coach in the middle of a road trip. That was never gonna happen.
Like, they had to interview, they had to get permission to interview, they had to do all these things.
But their mind was made up on Thursday. The last straw was another 40 plus shot effort, and there's no defense, and they're in, you got no saves. That was the last straw, was Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And
you know what? Bringing in,
I mean, at the same time, you do feel for the Oilers a little bit. They have 8 losses when they've had 40 shots on net and they've allowed less than 20.
You don't feel for teams that don't run defensive
system. I understand that, but there has been a lot of goals. There has been a lot of goals that went straight through the goalies. A lot. Like that goal that Salinas' first goal, it went right under the arm of Campbell. No traffic, nothing.
They have not had good goaltending. I am the first to admit that. But this isn't just on the goalies. If they think that this is just a goalie problem,
it's not a goalie problem though, Brad. What I'm saying is, when your team is so fragile and your goalie lets in a soft goal, it's like, here we go again. Now we're chasing the game. When you get no saves, there's no confidence. They're like, holy shit, man, we gotta like grip our sticks and we gotta score 5 goals to win. And the Oilers, it's just bad.
I agree completely with what you're saying. But having that mentality of, oh boy, this is going to be hard, we have to score 5. Wouldn't it just be easier to be like, you know what, boys, we need to be more defensive responsible, and then this will come.
For sure.
We're offensively talented. So now we just have to shore up defensively. And that comes from the forwards too. That means back checking. That means staying on your guy. That means center down low, taking his guy.
Did you see the play by Dreisaitl against San Jose? He just like coasted into the zone. Coaster in the zone, let his man to the net, and bingo. It's like
they're in full poor me mode. They were in full poor me mode, and a shakeup had to happen. Woodcroft, did he deserve to be fired?
He's a scapegoat.
No, he had something to do with this. So he didn't institute accountability in his system.
Listen, it's the exact same team as last year, the same team that had 50 wins. What do you mean? What do you just don't forget how to score goals. It's the same team. It was the same team that took Vegas to game 6 in the conference finals.
They're not getting saves. Oh, this is way more than that.
They're not getting saves. They're not scoring on the power play. They're power play merchants. Dreisaitl and McDavid both. They get a lot of points in their power play. Their power play is not producing. They're not getting saves. They don't play defense. There's a lot wrong with the Oilers right now. There's a lot.
So how long before it's too long to dig themselves out of this hole?
Honestly, that is one of my questions. You want to answer that question now? We'll do 2 questions later.
Yeah.
My question is, let me pull it up. How many games is appropriate that's too late? How deep of a hole can you dig in? What is this, game 15? There's what, 3-9-2?
They're 9 points out of fourth place.
Yeah. That's a lot. What does Vancouver have on them? 18 points?
Vancouver has, yeah.
Like that's 9 straight losses for Vancouver and 9 straight wins for the Oilers. Has
23 points on them.
Yeah.
They're not catching that.
No. No, that's not right. Then Vancouver's only 1 point behind Vegas.
I'm sorry. No, they have 18 points on them.
Yeah, that's a lot. Like mm-hmm. that's... I was reading a stat that the Oilers would have to play at like 108 point pace just to get to 92 points.
It's going to be tough. This is not going to be easy.
I think if they get to 13, 14 losses before they get to 7-8 wins, I'd be in trouble.
So how many years are we going to go before we quit hearing this? Well, the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that was at Christmas, and they were 17-20. The Oilers are 3-11. Like they were around 500 when they made the change. Yeah, sure, they were in 31st place. They were a bad team, but the coaching change, that's a similarity. But they also had Jordan Binnington come up and go 15-1-1 his first 17 starts. I don't see any run like that happening with any goalie on Edmonton. Don't get me wrong. Does Skinner have potential? Could he be a good goalie? Sure, he could. But right now, he's got no confidence.
I would just love to see what he would be like
if they played defense in front of him. If
he played a little bit of defense in front of him. They allow so many point blank shots because their defensemen are chasing all over the place. They literally do not know where they're supposed to belong. And that's a coaching problem. Well, it is a coaching and accountability problem.
It is. And it is. I don't like bringing up talking a lot, but his philosophy of defense, though, his philosophy of defense, how he explains it is make the goalie play half the net. Like, don't allow as many cross ice pass and back doors, make him play half the net, and it's way less taxing on your goalie. That makes so much sense.
Oh, I know, but the Oilers can't even get to that part because they have somebody pinching so far up that they don't ever have anybody back.
Yeah.
It's freaking 3-on-1s and 2-on-1s like you wouldn't believe, right?
Yeah.
Makes it tough.
Yeah.
One final thing on the Oilers, and I want to move on, but I had to laugh a little bit because I saw a bunch of rumors this week about Carter Hart getting traded to Edmonton. And I had to chuckle, and I thought, boy, wouldn't it be so Edmonton-like if they get Carter Hart and then week after get suspended for the problems on Team Canada? Wouldn't that be so
Edmonton-like? How about this? If I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I am doing whatever it takes to trade for UC Saros. Why not? You know what I would do? You might call me an might absolutely call me an idiot for saying this and blast me on social media if you want. Would the Oilers ever think about trading Leon Draisaitl to get some help? To get a goalie and get a defenseman and spread that money out elsewhere?
Well, I'll do it. I'll trade you Jacob Markstrom. I'll retain $3 million. I'll throw in Tanev and Zadorov.
But hear me out. Would a UC Saros plus for a Draisaitl interest Nashville? I think they would listen. Yeah,
they'd listen.
They would listen. And I think, honestly, for the Oilers going forward, you're going to have to get creative because they got no cap. If you can turn Draisaitl into a $6 million contract in Saros and other help, I think you have to be open to that.
Yeah, but you wait a second. We need to look at his contract because I think he has.
He's got 2 years left. It's this year and next year.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, I think he's got a no trade, no move. He's not doing that.
He has a no move.
Yes.
Full no move.
Full no move. He's on modified no trade and a no move clause. It says. I don't know how you have both, but that's what Cap Friendly says.
Let's see.
I don't know. It's what it says.
Yeah, he does. Okay.
So that's not happening.
But you get the idea. You could get creative in something like that.
I could transfer that idea and say that you could probably get Jacob Markstrom out of Calgary for the right price.
Yeah. Not I wouldn't take Draisaitl though.
No, gosh, no, I'm not saying Draisaitl.
Oh, okay.
Oh, geez.
Battle of Alberta made a trade like that?
Just a couple years ago. Who was it? They did. They made a trade like 3 or 4 years ago. They did? Yes, they made a trade like 3 or 4 years ago. Google it. I know they made a trade 3 or 4 years ago.
Oilers and Flames trade history.
I mean, there's not a lot. I'll tell you that. I can promise you that. But I do know that they made one a few years ago.
Oh.
Eric Ryan.
No. It was Lucic for James Neal.
There you go.
Oh, shit. The first Oilers trade was in 2010. Steve Staios.
Yep.
Steve Staios. Laurent Brossoit was another one. 2019. Yeah, the Lucic one was in 2019.
Yeah, they picked up.
There's only been three trades. Isn't that crazy? These teams have been around for a long time. There's only been three trades.
That's not that crazy.
I agree. They probably should shop Markstrom. He's playing well. His value is pretty high right now because Dustin Wolf has to play. He didn't have the greatest showing in Ottawa, but the kid's got to play.
Right? I know, but I just can't wait to see what Calgary fans say when they've talked about this guy like he's Jesus. And what if he doesn't pan out?
That is a possibility. He's pretty tiny.
It's a realistic
goalie. How many goalies in the NHL that are under 6 foot have had a good career? There ain't many.
Well, you got to put a time frame on that. In the last decade, there's
for sure. Before that,
there was a lot of them.
Like, right, but the style has changed. Everybody goes down the butterfly now. Like it's changed. Yeah. It's changed. Mikey, you remember Mike DiPietro? Big hot shot out of the OHL, drafted in the third round by the Canucks. I don't even think he made the league anymore. They traded into Boston.
It happens, man. It happens.
He's 6 foot.
Goalies is the toughest thing out there. And
so. The Oilers do need some saves, though, man.
Well, they need some saves, but they need some defense.
Defense. Skinner's played well today. He's had 33 stops. They're up 3-1. So
we'll see what happens there. Yeah. Shout out to our sponsors, Apparel Bandits. These guys do custom hockey, nice, logoed gear, some really, really cool stuff from brands like Unreal, CCM, Sportech, New Era hats, great stuff. Check out apparelbandits.com. Just below in the link, you'll be able to click on them, and lots of cool CCM stuff you can get your logo put on. Really, really good stuff. It is time to go around the league. All right, players. There are some players this year that are lost. I can name a few. Connor McDavid, Jonathan Huberdeau, John Klingberg,
Johnny Gaudreau,
Matthew Barzell. The list goes on and on. Really good hockey players that I wouldn't even say are struggling. They are completely absent.
Yeah.
Why is this?
I have no answers for Huberdeau and Gaudreau right now. I don't know what to make of that. It's you got Huberdeau getting benched the two of the last four games in the third period. One, he didn't even play a single shift. And then he responds in against Toronto. I thought he had a really, really good game in Toronto. He made a good defensive play in overtime. He looked energized. Thought he had a solid game, and then the game after, he's just a no-show against Ottawa. So I don't know, man. There's definitely a playing in Canada and the pressure and getting a big contract that has something to do with it. He's obviously not living up to any of that. And I thought he would have a better year. We both kind of predicted he'd have a bounce back year, and it just hasn't worked out. And you can say the same thing for Gaudreau. And what I would say is sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Right. And we've seen that before. Right. Campbell had something good, a good thing going in Toronto. They ran him out, but he had a good thing going there. And he signs that big contract in Edmonton. And he hasn't been anything what he was in Toronto. Nothing.
Well, you know, I can't ever say that Toronto's defense is great, but they're a little bit more responsible than Edmonton's. But
their forwards are way more responsible.
Yes.
Right.
He just looks like a shell of himself. Like he's so beaten down that I think his confidence
goaltending is all about confidence. If you have no confidence as a goalie, you're screwed.
So a guy that I want to pinpoint is John Klingberg. Is he like not trying, or does he, I mean, he is just not defensively like aware at all.
The defensive display that he put on against the Ottawa Senators was one of the worst I've ever seen. This guy falls at the blue line, gets up, takes a couple head looks, and watches Giroux just float back door for a tap. And didn't even extend a stick, nothing. Just, not another goal. I'm going to the bench. We both called this a horrible signing for the Leafs. Horrible.
Oh, we both said it right away.
For $4 million for 1 year? There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal. I'll be on the record saying that, because if it doesn't work out, you let him go. But, I mean, given $4 million to him, wouldn't you rather have traded for a Sean Durzi or signed even a Matt Dumba for $4 million? Like,
what happens, though? Like, okay, So what happens next year? Is he even able to sign anywhere?
If he is, it's going to be for the vet minimum. He ain't getting much. Like, it's,
I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's not good.
Like, Matthew Barzell's struggling. I know he scored tonight. McDavid scored tonight, but he's struggling. Well, for that matter, Draisaitl is struggling too. And, you know, you look around this and it just seemed to be an epidemic this year. We got a lot of big names, you know, when Johnny Gaudreau is not scoring, Johnny Gaudreau is worthless.
Let's just Johnny Gaudreau is not doing anything.
He's not doing anything.
Not doing anything. Like, it's, would you trade Huberto for Johnny Gaudreau?
Probably. I don't know.
I saw that on Twitter. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah, I mean, it's been all over Twitter, but hey, what do you do? You know, it's,
Man, Twitter is not a safe place when your team is sucking. It is one of the worst places to be. And it's one of the best places when your team is winning.
Speaking of, Zadorov's agent goes to Twitter to be the Alan Walsh lookalike and fire off that his player Nikita Zadorov wants a trade out of Calgary because he's upset because he got 15 minutes the other night. Says he's the best defenseman on the Calgary Flames.
He's not wrong.
What?
He's not wrong. It's him or Anderson.
Anderson by far a Uyghur. Zadorov?
Zadorov's
a big hitter, but Zadorov is not a good defensive player.
He's not horrible.
Did you watch the Ottawa game the other night?
Not horrible.
Up the middle, in the back of the net. Now, here's my two gripes on this. If you don't want to play, that's fine. That's fine. But why do agents have to do this in public? What does that gain?
If you're Calgary, you're loving this. You're loving this if you're Craig Conroy. What, he just did all the work for you, and now there's going to be a bidding war created. That's basically what his agent just did. If you're Calgary, you ain't trade him until you get what you want.
I'm not rushing.
No. You got all the time in the world. You got the Canucks. You got the Devils. You got Toronto all interested in this guy. And now you're going to create a bidding war. It's great for a Calgary fan. It's great.
But you know what I don't understand? Nikita Zadorov looked at the media 3 weeks ago and said, the problem is we have too many individuals on this team. And then 3 weeks later, he pulls an individual move and says, I want out.
A lot can change in 3 weeks.
Look like a hypocrite.
Sure. You could say that. Total
hypocrite.
You could say that.
Players that say, well, we want out. Yeah, the grass isn't always greener, right, Johnny?
Yeah, no. That's what I literally just said.
I just get frustrated. Like, if you want to get traded, that's fine. But that's something your agent goes to the general manager in private on. To go to Twitter is just unprofessional. It's an Alan Walsh move, and Alan Walsh
He's not. Zadorov is not wrong, though, with the individual stuff, because Lindholm has been a shell of himself.
I'm not saying he's wrong. No, I'm not saying he's wrong, but it's pretty damn hypocritical for him to paint his picture that he's a team guy, and now he's walking out on the team.
Right.
Right? Yeah. That's all I'm saying. The guy likes to talk too much.
Yeah.
And he talks the talk, and he says he's a number 1-2 defenseman, but he's really not.
He's a 3-4.
He's a 3-4. He's a good 3-4.
Yeah, he's a good 3-4.
Not a 1-2.
Yeah.
And if he thinks he is, find me a team outside of Edmonton where he's a 1-2.
He would look damn near good beside old Ian Cole. It's going to cost a lot to get him, though. I don't think the Canucks will get him.
What's he going to ask for? He's going to ask for an exorbitant contract next year, out of this world contract. I don't think he's going to get it.
Okay, but going back to the Calgary forwards, man. Like, what is going on with Lindholm? Kadri's been better as of late. Dubé's been better as of late.
Dubé, he's
awesome. I like the kids, man. I like that. What the hell is his name? I call him Popsicle. I don't know how to say his last name. Popsicle or whatever the hell his name is. He's a Martin, good little guy. You got Martin Connor Zary.
Not little either.
I'm just saying. Connor Zary. Like they got some, they've injected a lot of youth, and that's what Calgary Flames fans have been pounding the damn table for, is to get some youth movement here, and they're producing.
The youth are right now are carrying this team. Well, they're not carrying them too far. We've only got four wins, but they're at least creating a spark. I guess that's the best way to put
it. Well, it gives the fans hope because that's the future, right? And if you look at Calgary's system, you got Coronado lighting it up in the AHL. You got Littler, who's an up and coming prospect. Like you got some good players, and Hanzik is another guy. Like they got some good young players, and that's something to be excited for. And now maybe you can trade Lindholm for a haul at the deadline. You trade Chris Tanev for a first round pick or a second round pick. You trade Zadara for a second and some prospects, and all of a sudden you trade all your pending UFAs and you beef up your system and you enter a little retool, rebuild, whatever you want to call it. Because that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen here.
You have to shore up the defense just a little bit.
A little bit. But there is a lot of good young pieces to be excited. And you got Dustin Wolf, who could be a good goalie. We'll see.
Month one takeaways. Matthew is still one of the best goal scorers in the league.
Better than Laine? Oh, shit. Hey. You know what gap has been closed, mister? You know what gap has been closed? The Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar gap is closed. It's closed.
Cale Makar is the top three player in the league.
Okay. Do you know who's third in the NHL in scoring? His name is Quinn Hughes.
Yes, but Quinn Hughes is still not a superstar defenseman.
Okay, but the gap is closed.
He's still not Makar. You ask all 32 general managers, they'll take Makar over him. They will.
Makar doesn't look that great this year, dude. I've watched him a few games. He doesn't look that good right now.
Well, we'll see. Just watch. But
I think it's closed. If it's not closed, it's almost closed.
I've noticed this month that Mason McTavish is going to be a superstar in this league.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's a star.
I think the Canucks look like serious contenders. I think.
I don't love that word you just used there.
I think Boston is the best team in the league.
Yeah, but they just keep rolling like old times, man. I don't know, man.
I think that we're gonna have a pretty fun Calder race.
We are.
Did you
see Bedard's second goal? Bobrovsky goes to seal the bottom of the net, and Bedard goes, "Thank you very much. I'll just pick that short side top shelf." Oh my God.
Hockey Hall of Fame tonight. We're announced, or not announced, but inducted tonight. Henrik Lundqvist, Mike Vernon, Tom Barrasso, Pierre Turgeon, Caroline, is it Ouellette?
Ouellette.
I just said it wrong. Pierre Lacroix and Ken Hitchcock.
Goalie heavy.
You know, I like this induction thing, but they let way too many players in.
So are you telling me Henrik Lundqvist is not a Hall of Fame goalie?
No, I would say he is.
He's a top 10 goalie of all time.
I don't know about that.
He's
won nothing.
Okay. Luongo's a top 5 all time. He's won nothing.
Luongo's not top 5.
He is top 5. He's third all time in wins. What are you talking about?
Top five goalie of all time.
All time.
You were born, because I'm sure you got Carey Price in there too. So you're forgetting all these other goalies that came before him.
Okay. Who's your top five? Who's your top five?
I mean,
I'd have
Ed Belfour in there.
Ed Belfour?
I would have Dominic Hasek in there.
Sure. And Martin Brodeur and Patrick Waugh. Those are my top four. Then I'm a goal to Luongo.
I don't know if Patrick Waugh would make my top five. I don't. He might. I'd have to sit down and really study it.
We should do it. Let's do that. Next show, we're going to name our top 10 goalies of all time. Let's do that. That'd be a good exercise to do.
Mike Vernon goes in tonight. He was a Stanley Cup champion for the Flames in 89, Red Wings in 97, Conn Smythe Trophy winner. Tom Barrasso goes in. He had the Calder, the first goalie I can ever remember in my life, coming right out of high school into the NHL. Pierre Turgeon, this one is surprising to me a little bit, but he did have 515 goals, 812 assists. Ken Hitchcock, I think he's a shoe-in if fourth amongst wins and coaches at 849. Plus, the guy is probably the most interesting guy I've ever personally talked to in my entire life. I'd love to sit down for 2 hours with the guy. Interesting selections this year. All in all, I thought pretty decent. I wished there was only two people or three people a year that went in. I always look at it this way, Blake. We got, what did we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people go in this year, right? Do we have 7 player, or do we have 7 people entering the hockey world this year that are going to all be Hall of Famers? It's hard to believe. Do you see, if you put it in terms that way, it's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like we've gotten a little bit too soft on who goes in and who doesn't, but that is probably an argument for another day. It is time for 3 questions.
It's time for 3 questions.
Last week I fired 3 questions at Blake. It is his turn. This week we erased one of them already, which is good because we're running low on time. We got 2 questions right now. Fire away.
Put your GM cap on for the Flames.
Yeah, what's I have your, every day for the your, last week.
What's your ideal return for Zadorov? What do you look for in a return for him?
A first and a first round pick and a bottom tier defenseman.
Okay. So like a first round pick and like an NHL defenseman or a prospect?
Yep. An NHL defenseman, a stopgap just to get us through the next year or two.
Okay. What's your thoughts on the Whalers, Cooperalls?
Love it. Absolutely love it. Want them to wear them during the game.
Are they going to wear them during the game?
I don't know. I heard multiple
The reports. Flyers wore them in warm-up, then they took them off.
I heard that they were going to wear them during the game. That's everybody's cool. Everybody's like, oh, you slide around too much on them. And you know what? I did wear Cooperalls growing up, and you do slide around a little bit.
Well, okay, so that's way before my time. But so
the girdles are the most comfortable and protective things I've ever worn.
Hold on, though. Hold on. Dude, so that goes over your pants, right?
No, you don't wear pants. You put your leggings on, or not your leggings. You put your shin pads on. Yep, and then you have.
Oh, there's no way. There's no way they're wearing them then. The NHLPA will not allow them to take. How are you going to wear no pants?
You wear a girdle full of pads. It has more padding, and the old Cooperall pads had more padding than the pants they wear today.
Oh, really? Oh,
Way more padding.
I'd have to do some research on that.
And they're more tight fit on you, and they're more comfortable. The only problem with the pants is that you slid around too much. I'm telling you what, if you didn't slide around in them, every freaking team would still wear them to this day because they look cool.
They look cool. They look awesome.
And the girdles were comfortable, I thought. I thought they were comfortable. I wore them for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the Brandon Wheat Kings wore them for 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And I remember my first Brandon Wheat Kings game I went to in like 1982 or 83. Ron Hextall was the goalie. They freaking wore Cooperalls.
Yeah.
It wasn't that uncommon.
Yeah.
All right. Listener question. George Patella, Victoria, BC. Patrick Kane has been rumored to be signing with various different teams. If you were a general manager, would you be open to signing him to a long-term 3-plus-year contract?
No. He's getting
a and who will end up signing? Who will he end up signing with?
I would not. He's signing a 1-year deal, and it's going to be for around $2 to $3 million.
We'll get more than 1 year because I know he's going to demand next year too.
Maybe. I mean, I think he'll take a 1-year deal. If he's smart, he signs a 1-year vet min and goes to a team that has a chance to win the cup. He's got lots of money. Why not take a 1-year 750? Why not take a 1-year 750K and go to a team like Toronto?
You do know who we're talking about, right?
No, I understand that. But I'm saying if I was him, I would sign for 950K and go sign in Toronto.
Would you pick Toronto?
I would. He's there. He's training in Toronto. He's training in Toronto right now.
Or would you pick Vegas?
I'm saying any contender. That's just an example. I would sign for $950K 1 year, and you go try to win another cup. You got so much money. He's rumored to go to Buffalo. He ain't going to Buffalo.
I don't think he's going to Buffalo. You said he was going to Buffalo.
He's rumored to go to the Rangers. Detroit's interested in him. I could see him going to Detroit. The DeBrincat connection. That's something to keep an eye on. Maybe
not a contender though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dallas is the one that keeps coming up. That makes sense. It actually does make sense. It really does. All right, it is time. It is that time of year. It is a very important time. It's Hockey Fights Cancer Month. Unfortunately, cancer impacts all of us in some way, shape, or form. Help out. Consider donating if possible. We got the links in the podcast notes. We'll be talking about that in the coming episodes also. But if you can't help out, click on the link below and do your part to help out families and research and try to do the best we can to cope with the disease of cancer. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot to talk about next week, just like there was this week. Every week I wonder, geez, what are we going to talk about next week? And by Saturday night, I'm like, plenty to talk about each and every week. Hockey fans, enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next week. Tuesday drop on the next episode. More great hockey talk. Hockey talk every week. The Debate Hockey Podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.